thought we'd want to listen to the new Lennon and McCartney song.
Somebody made a point that this intro's a little out of tune, I think.
We laid on Primrose Hill, didn't know it still.
You know, when you got a chord progression that good, you just want to repeat it the whole song, you know.
An overcast sultry day, I didn't know what to do.
He really wants you to know he can sing that trill, too.
Yeah, he does.
Sing. We lay there forever. Forgot just everything.
Beatles-y kind of chord.
I like this bit.
Kiss beneath the stars.
That runs good.
Stars.
Sounds a little tuned.
Oh, it sounds deliberately
tuned.
But
weirdly, the guitar is not tuned, I don't think.
Fuck yeah, this is the Sugar Ray bit. The kind of DJ.
Yeah, exactly. Well, oh boy. Lot to say about this. A lot to say. He really wants us to remember Primrose Hill as well.
For some fit.
Fuck yeah, dude. That fucking Sugar Ray sound.
Forever's a long word.
Forever's a long word.
A long word? I thought he was going to say a long way would have been a better line, maybe.
To be loving you.
It's not that long a word, really.
Forever and a day.
Fuck, that's my favorite bit.
I looked into your eyes. Got such a great surprise.
Breath
away. Logic drummer.
Yeah, it is logic drummer for sure.
You know who's playing that shaker?
Yeah, let's get to that. Let's drop that bomb in a comedic way. Because I've got a really good story about that discovery. Good. It's a good way. You know what you want to do is.
Is this Sean? Through his Kemper,
probably.
Through his DI Kemper.
We know how he likes to play blues.
That's it.
Is that the end?
Yeah.
Strange.
Well, they wanted to get out in a classic 3:13 pop, you know?
Yeah, interesting structure.
They wanted to just, you know, I can imagine him in the studio being like, you know, if we got any chance of making this a hit, we need to get it in under 3:13. So we're just going to have to cut that strings because the melodies are so strong.
Yeah.
We're going to have to cut the string arrangement from that we got Giles to do on, you know, AI. Yeah. Strings.
Nobody's going to keep listening. Unfortunately, the melodies and the lyrics are so strong, we just want to keep pummeling people with them.
Yeah.
And then you want to save the solo and string section for the very end. And then for the keen listeners, the super fans enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
Can you play it one more time again?
100%, I
want to see the intro. There's a couple of notes on that acoustic guitar that just get my ear going every time. And here we go.
Bit out,
right there.
Yeah.
What is up with that one? Yeah. Yeah. A little bit out, yeah. It's just interesting to commit so hard to tuning on a vocal.
Well, I think it's an aesthetic choice.
And I got one thing to say to you about this, James, and I think you'll...
Can we listen again?
100...
Sorry, no, what's up?
No. I think you'll 100% agree with this. Is that the main problem with the intro there is a lack of Peterson tuners.
Oh, I maybe forgot just, about them, yeah.
Maybe you just like to, maybe, you know, you just like to explain to everybody.
Johnny, that was last week. Like, I've moved on from then. That was some wild stuff. Yeah, we can talk about it. I'll have to kind of jig my memory, but I can explain, like, how I became aware of them.
Yeah, sure, please.
So I was in the studio last week recording a great band from Montana. I don't know if they're from Bozeman, so I don't know if they're aware of Dan from Montana and his baked goods, but because I think he's in Missoula. But we were recording, and I was playing a lot of guitars on the record. And Tom, the studio owner, and me, he was talking about those, what are they called? Those like classic tuners you get for your guitar that like go on the end of acoustics. Begins with S.
Snark.
Yeah, snark. And I was just like, these things are garbage. Like, they're not in tune. Like, they don't work for me. They never work. And he has, like, he had a rack, like a Korg rack tuner, you know? Like, so yeah, I was in the control, he was in the control room, and I was, like, saying what the snark was saying, and he was saying what the Korg was saying, and sometimes it was quite out. Like,
right.
So he was like, I wonder if there's, like, better, there must be better ones.
Yeah.
So we looked online, and you can get, like, the Polytune do one, and then the Peterson do a tuner. And
the Ferrari of tuners.
The Ford, actually, I think. Old school American steel stacks tuning. Okay. You know? Reliable. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he
I was saying, like precision, you know, Ferrari kind of like tuned to perfection. That
I think they're more of a NASCAR of tuning. Like it's just like.
Right.
It's gonna get
horsepower.
Horsepower. Well, I mean, Ferrari. So. He ordered them off Amazon because they get there in the morning, and then we road tested all these tuners. I at one point had all three of them on the end of my acoustic guitar.
Nice.
And the snark was bad. Like, legitimately, it was like out at times. Yeah. Not always, but occasionally it was out, and it was like, it is reading out. So,
and presumably you know. This band from Montana thought time and money well spent.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you got me on a session with Tom, like, you're saving money just by virtue of having some major players in the room. Tom's the kind of guy who can whip out a Whirly Rhodes piano, whatever you want, one take Dobransky, Dobranskys, that's what I call him.
Right, nice.
That guy is such a player that it, like, I can, you know, if you've got, as you know, like, we've talked about before, if you have, like, an actual piano player in the room, mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. save so much time.
Sure.
It's just, you know, someone who's like, oh yeah, I got it. That's fine. Like, I just, do you want a Christine McVie part on this? Here, no problem, done. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. blues. Anyway.
Drummer too, for sure.
Drummer's the biggest one. I mean, they had an amazing drummer in this band, and the singing was phenomenal. So it was like, they're the hardest things. You know, if you can do those, like, and then, yeah, like, we could just take care of the rest. I mean, guitars and bass or whatever, aren't they? But
sure.
Anyway, yeah. So I think they thought it was money. They thought they were interested in this tuning thing, and then we realized that the Peterson one had this extra. And listen, there's probably people listening who are like, James, we've known about this. This is industry standard. If you're a session guitar player, these tunings, the Peterson comes with these additional settings on the tuner called sweetened tunings.
Sweeteners,
Sweeteners.
I learned all about this last week as well.
So maybe we're behind the times.
Yeah, I think so.
So I started trying to use them, and they don't work as far as I'm concerned.
Well, apparently, you know, I was down in Kansas City doing a session as well, and Wills Van Dorn, the guy I was working with, he's well-versed in the Peterson brand.
Yeah.
Because he's a big James Taylor guy.
Well, I mean, this is it. James Taylor's kind of the guy for these sweeteners.
Yeah, apparently they were developed for him and his precision style acoustic guitar picking.
I can't imagine he would be willing to do anything other than use.
I tell you, you listen to an acoustic guitar and a James Taylor record, that shit sounds really and really good, dude.
Well, so I was kind of watching this video of this guy, like, who just looked consumed by the idea of, I mean, it is beautiful mind stuff. Like, most of us just put, like, a vibrato on our guitar to avoid having to think too hard about this.
Sure, yeah.
This guy really had got to the point in this video, and I posted some stories about it. I'll maybe find it again, where he was trying to figure out, like, he'd got so into tuning that he couldn't hear tuning anymore. Like, he was, like, round the bend. He was like, I think it feels like this is more in tune. But like, he couldn't tell because he'd been listening too much to the tuning and forgetting about the guitar, like the space in between the notes and stuff. He did one that was really interesting, which he said was Richard Lloyd's trademarked sweetener.
Wow.
And Richard Lloyd, which made sense to me, it was the most complicated way to tune a guitar I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was for people who play mostly between the third and, like, the fifth and 12th fret.
Okay.
Which is like, you know, television. Like, sure. He's down. He's not down it. So he played like a low E chord and it sounded like fucking garbage, like a whole lot of nothing. But if he was playing like some inversions up the neck,
yeah,
never been more in tune.
Perfect. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, some would might call that an intonation issue, but, you know, I wouldn't
know. But I guess that, like, there's, and so interestingly enough, we had in the band that we